Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Katie Offerman.
Katie, I was watching some stuff that maybe you'd put online, some old videos. And any fiddle player that I know, like, that dominates their what they do musically.
Right.
Most of them. If they're a fiddle player, like, first and foremost, I was very surprised to see you killing a fiddle. Because
Thank you.
and that is a massive compliment, because I went through and we've been playing, you know, some of your music on the Women of IR Country and the Country Top 30. Like, I programmed both of those shows. And so I've been a fan of your music. And watched some of your videos where you play live. I was just so shocked to see you play a fiddle, because you don't. That's usually the person's thing.
I know. You know, it's such an interesting thing, because I grew up playing instruments as opposed to singing and doing my own thing. You know, people always ask, like, oh, what all instruments do you play? Whatever. And it's like, I have to categorize them by what I'm willing to get paid for. And for me, like, that's fiddle and, you know, me backing myself up on guitar. But fiddle's just always been my main thing. Like, I grew up playing in polka bands and playing fiddle in a German dress and, like, you know, all that, normal stuff. And so for me, it's like, I had to learn when I came to Nashville and when I started doing my own thing, like, where does that fit in what I do?
Did you purposefully not want to be you're a fiddle player, obviously, but did you not want to be known? Because there's not a lot of artists. There's a couple that are really good with the fiddle. There's not a lot of artists who play the fiddle up front.
I think for me, it was really important that people focus on what I have to say and who I am as an artist, and that be kind of like a spice that I add in, you know, and it not be in my pictures or something that I'm like, I'm Katie, I'm the fiddle chick, you know. I want it to be like, if you were to go see, gosh, I mean, even somebody like, let's just say Taylor Swift, like somebody that everybody's kind of, you know, been into over the years. If suddenly, like, mid-set, they picked up a fiddle and they played.
Blow your mind.
Like, on one song. And here's the thing, too. It's not about just picking up the fiddle. It's the difference to me, of playing something like Alison Krauss would versus, like, you're never going to catch me playing Devil Down in Georgia mid-set. Like, please kill me before that happens. And so I've done it too many times and I'm over it. But for me, it's like, while it will never be the forefront, I'll never be the fiddle chick. The fiddle and just my musicality is way too deep rooted in my life and my career and who I am as a person to ever completely neglect that, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's kind of like the Lizzo flute thing.
Right.
Where when she pulls out the flute, you're like, what the crap? Who even plays the flute? And when she's so good at it, you're like, wow. But anyway, that's the feeling that I got, because I was not expecting to see you on a stage grab a fiddle and tear it apart. And it was awesome.
Well, thanks. So I appreciate that.
Take that as a massive compliment.
Thank you.
When you grew up in Texas?
Yeah. Love that you spent time there. That, you know, makes every Texan happy.
A lot. So you near New Braunfels?
Yeah. I grew up on a ranch outside of New Braunfels. Born and raised. Was there my whole life. Up until moving to college, you know? And I mean, Texas is obviously a huge part of who I am as well. I feel like that comes out in my music. And even though I played all these different genres, like, country music, I feel like you have to love country music if you're from Texas. But, like, that's what my foundation was built on.
You grew up on a ranch, so did you have to go out and, I don't know, gather
the
horses and milk the goats before you got to play the
Yes. All right. So TMI, but my husband 2 weeks ago was like, you know, people have been talking about this, like, raw milk thing, you know, I think it's, like, pretty hip. Maybe I should try it. So we, like, go to the Charlotte Farmers Market. We buy the raw milk, and he's telling me how it's going to change my life. I'm like, cool. I'm not a huge dairy person, but so then in the process of doing that, he's like, well, have you ever tried it? I'm like, yes, straight from the goat. I would go out, I just take the udder, and I put it straight to my mouth. I can't even believe I'm telling you this. because that seems so far from the person that I am today. But like, I was that girl. Like, I'm like, want to be unpopular, you know, let me tell you how to do it. Grow up on a ranch, be homeschooled, be an only child, your best friends are your goats, and you play music.
You know? Were homeschooled on the ranch. Who was your teacher?
My dad.
And what was his expertise? Meaning, what was he the best at? What was he the best at as a teacher?
What is not his expertise if you talk to him? You know, at the time, he was a horse trainer. And so we grew up like just kind of a simple life. And I was homeschooled in the tack room of our barn. You know, like just being homeschooled, being an only child, like it's funny now because I think that's the problem with kind of like social media and just it's easy to assume things about people and see my life on there and be like, oh man, looks like she's, you know, doing the thing, must be cool, whatever. And it's like deep inside, I'm still kind of like that 12-year-old that's out at the ranch that's just kind of like by myself, just kind of doing my thing and like not cool at all, you know? And I'm just so lucky that my dad homeschooled me because I think if my mom had, I would have been a horrible person. I think she would have stressed me out. Love her, but not in the classroom.
Did you guys have a music class? Did you do anything like that?
You know, my parents are not musical at all.
So then how are you so musical if they are not?
Man, I don't know. Maybe I just kind of got lucky. I think that for me, it was like we grew up going to church, you know, and I'd see the old gal at the front. It was nothing special. Like to me, yeah, I mean, now I go to a big church and it's like the light show and the whole deal and I'm into it. I definitely wouldn't want to go back to my small church, but it's crazy how far, like, you know, that even just going to that Presbyterian church when I was a little kid, like that one person, one old lady playing piano inspired me. And I just remember asking my parents, like, that looks kind of cool. Like, I want to do that.
And they were supportive to help you do it?
So supportive. They're the best. You know, I really couldn't be and do all the things that I do without having all their support over the years. And like, yeah, I think it's just been a game changer for me, even just emotionally, like to have that support. So
you grew up playing the fiddle, obviously. The accordion?
Yeah, so the accordion, that's something like...
That's like the coolest instrument ever.
I've been thinking, you know, the funny thing is I have my old accordion at the house and it's broken.
Your house here? Or
yes.
Or back in Texas?
No, it's here.
Oh, if you brought that in and played on our show, that would be I'd be better than a Garth performance.
See, all right, we've added the fiddle to the set. We've not added the accordion to the set yet.
Hilarious and awesome and tough and hard to play. It's all the combination.
It's a lot, man. And I'm not saying no. So maybe sometime we'll do that together. But it's funny because my accordion, all the buttons on the left are stuck and it's just, God, it sounds like just the worst. And so I was thinking recently, like, you know what? Maybe I should just like go on Amazon and like order some like cruddy, just cheap, like little, you know, maybe I'll learn the button box. Because I feel like that would be so fun to bring out to a show for one song. People wouldn't even have to know
what
I was playing.
But they wouldn't know what it is. They would be like, what is happening?
Yeah,
it would be awesome. Because you would surprise folks and give them something they haven't seen before.
100%.
No one's ever played.
There might be a reason for that.
No, I take it back. The Texas Twister. Eddie, who was it that came? Tim McGraw brought in the Texas Tornadoes.
Oh, they played Texas Tornadoes, yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought an accordion.
Yep.
The whole group. It was awesome. And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Because
oh,
I've only ever
man.
Seen it at a Mexican restaurant in a mariachi, right?
Man, you've only seen the mariachi. You need to come out to a polka show sometime.
I've never been to a polka show. We went to a bar in Vegas, right, Eddie, once? It was polka?
That's German, yeah. They did polka music. Yeah.
And polka bar.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. I just know it was fun.
Yeah.
It was like green. Yeah. It's very green.
Yeah.
Green. And people going, do-ba-do-ba. There's a tuba and stuff involved.
It's
awesome.
It's a good time, you know? People drink a lot of beer, eat a lot of sauerkraut. I mean, man, I remember when I was like 11, 12, 13 on the road with this polka band. Like, I've never eaten more broccoli.
You went on the road with a polka band when you were 12 or 13?
For sure. Like, who doesn't? I mean, man, I'll tell you this. Up until, like, when I moved to Nashville 6 years ago, I used to play with this guy back in Texas. His name was Terry Cavanaugh, and he was like the reason why I started playing shows because I was playing all these instruments, but it was, you know, primarily either classical bass or kind of gospel bluegrass. And for me, like all the only potential I saw in my musicality was either playing in an orchestra or like playing at home or playing with kind of at the church. But when I started taking accordion lessons from Terry, he was like, man, you should join my polka band. And so Terry and I, long story short, played together for a long time. We kind of ended up having a falling out, I think, because he saw me leaving the polka industry or whatever. And, you know, it's just, one day I woke up and I looked in my closet and I realized I didn't have any clothes. Like, I'd never worn jeans to a gig. I wore a dirndl. And so anyway, years went by. Terry and I didn't really, you know, talk much. I was doing my thing. He was still playing polka music and he's like in his 60s. When I moved to Nashville, you know, I'm starting out semi-desperate, and Terry calls me and he was like, "Hey, I know it's been a while. Do you want to make some extra money?" I'm like, "Heck yeah." So we would go play these secret polka gigs over at Opry Mills at the Hofbräu Beer Garden. So I'd be there like every Tuesday. So, and I'd be like, "Please God, let me not see anybody I know." So I did that until I started seeing people that I knew, and I was like, we need to stop. So
the funniest thing about that is now the coolest thing that you have that skill and you've done it.
I was like, is polka music the coolest thing?
No, but it's cool that it's super cool. Like, it's because I just don't know anything about it. That's why I say it's not cool. I know there's like a tuba and people wearing suspenders and people going up and down like the Oompa Loompas.
It's the Lederhosen.
Yes, whatever is.
Suspenders, Lederhosen, the whole
thing. That is so interesting.
You know, I think that, it's just totally shaped who I am and got me this place. Like, I would never do it any other way.
That is awesome.
I'd recommend to anybody, go play some polka music and come back.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You play the mandolin, wicked piano, all these instruments. So you decide to go to music school.
Yep.
Do you go to school for the instrument or for your voice?
So I didn't really find my voice for a while. You know, that's kind of what came last. And so for me, like, I was still kind of figuring out my deal when I went to college. I went up to Berkeley when I was 16. I had already started college at that point.
16. So you were finishing early because of homeschool. You did all your stuff early.
Yeah, that's kind of a long story. I ended up starting college like a few years before I went to Berkeley. So I was super young and it was kind of a crazy opportunity I had. And so I kind of ran with it. And I was like 15, I'm already in college. I took a year off school, was just playing like Western swing gigs around Texas. And I'm like, what do I want to do with my life? And this loser guy I was playing with at the time handed me this Berkeley like pamphlet thing. It was like, I'm not going to go. Like, you should go. I'm like, okay. So anyway, I ended up there and
you graduated.
I actually graduated. Yeah, I graduated when I was 19. And I say those were kind of like the bonus years of my life because I got to go and like move to LA and get told no like a million times for a couple years. And it was like,
what was your degree in?
Was in fiddle. So I did go for fiddle. Wasn't for voice.
Do they have fiddle and violin a difference?
No. It's all the same. I just feel like fiddle makes me seem like you'd want to be my friend. You know, it's more approachable. I'm like, oh, I play the fiddle. Instead of like, oh, I play the violin.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I would say if you were so, I agree with that statement completely because the fiddle's warmer, right?
It's like, it is. It's
fiddle,
just happy.
Come over, have some biscuits, right? If yes, you were 100%. Someone who wasn't believable as a country artist, because there will be people that are like, oh, look how country I am. And you're like, you never know.
Right.
This is just a game to you. You're trying to make it in music and this is where you think you have the best shot. But you are so freaking country that it doesn't. I mean, you know what? You could say I'm playing the cello. We'd be like, that's a country cello.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's like I've never had to sell that part of me. You know, it's like even I've lived in Boston. I've lived in L.A. You know, I've traveled all over the world. And I'm not, you know, there are other parts of me that are not just that girl on the ranch, you know. But like I said, that's always going to be my foundation. Like, I grew up listening to Bob Wills and Ray Price and people that you were saying earlier about, do you know this song? Because, you know, you're probably too young for it. I'm like, man, the older, I'm more likely to know it, you know?
Is that because of your parents at all? You said they weren't music, but yeah. Do they listen to a lot of music?
You know, I feel like I really listened to that with my grandparents. Like, my grandfather would just turn on records, you know? And he's the reason why I started playing fiddle, because he was like, ah, oh, I think I'm going to go to a pawn shop today and buy a fiddle and try to play, because, you know, he played violin in high school. Which, is that weird that I say violin and fiddle in the same sentence?
No,
I don't
because
know.
I mean, I can differentiate in what even what you mean by
yeah.
the difference.
Well,
and to
clarify,
me, there's a style difference when you say the two.
Yeah,
as well.
It's a stylistic thing, I feel like. Yeah. It's the kind of person you are. Like, are you wearing jeans? Are you wearing, like, trousers? Like, you know, it's like just different kinds of people, different kinds of whatever. I like fiddle best. But he took me to the pawn shop and was like, we're going to get a fiddle. And he brought it home, tried to play. He was in his 80s. And so he's like, man, I got too bad of arthritis in my hands. And so he gave the fiddle to me and was like, you can do something with this. So that's something I always hold on to. And that's what keeps me always, you know, at the end of the day, keeping that in what I do. So, because I think it's important to keep the fiddle alive and know that that's a huge part of who I am.
I'm more of, let's keep the, what's that thing called?
Yeah, let's accordion. Keep accordion alive. Alive.
Yeah. Make accordions great again.
Let's
what I say?
Go. Yeah. All right. I'm working on that. So, we'll see.
How would you describe your journey to Nashville? Because it sounds like there are a lot of really interesting character building stops along the way.
Yeah, I think the biggest maybe time period in my life that really taught me a lot of lessons and made me grow up a lot was living in LA after college. Because I really wasn't planning on moving out there. And I was going to go either back to Texas, do some kind of a Texas scene thing and come here, or I was just going to come here. And I met Simon Fuller, who created American Idol. He happened to be at a show I played, and I was backing up a few different people, but Annie Lennox was one of those people, and who he, I don't know if he still manages, but was managing her at the time. And he came up to me afterwards and was like, you know, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm fixing to graduate, and we're going to see what happens. And that all brought me out to LA, and I'd finally just said, screw it, I'm going to go out there and just kind of chase this thing, you know.
To do music? You moved to LA
well,
to try music?
He said we were going to do music, you know, but he was coming up with a show, or he had come up with a show that was going to take the place of Idol. And this is when Idol, I guess, was before it came back. And because this has been several years ago, almost 10 years ago. And he was like, I think it'd be great if you were the host of the show. And then we made your music kind of throughout the whole thing. And so I'm like, God, cool. You know, suddenly I was being picked up in black cars, like from my apartment in Boston. I was taking the airport, like I'd meet him in New York at the Plaza Hotel. Like everything felt very glamorous. Flown out to LA, you know, I mean, I was just like, wow, what is happening with my life? And then as time passes, you realize like 99% of things don't fall through. They fall through, they don't happen, you know? And I hadn't learned that yet in life, because I was so used to like play a gig, do a good job, get hired back, you know, and like these little baby steps. But it seemed like out there, it was like, do this and tomorrow we'll put you on a billboard or, you know, whatever. Everything was so grandiose that after a while the show didn't go through. I was having to pay. They told me, we're going to put you in classes to be a TV host. We'll let you pay to go have this gal get rid of your accent. You know, like all these different things. And I'm like, all I lost there was my money. And it's just funny. It's like all those different things that totally weren't me. But I wouldn't do it any other way, because, you know, looking back now, I'm like, that shaped me so much. And I ended up parting ways with Simon. I pretty much just told him, like, I need to go find me. You know, you can't do that. And I stayed out there. It was kind of having like a, you know, feeling like I was in crisis mode. I was 21 years old. I had broken up with this manager that I thought was going to change my life. And I said, screw it. So I went to Europe and I wrote for several months and came back, got offered a record deal on Sony with those songs I'd written that were so god awful. And finally realized the importance of getting told no 1,000 times, but knowing when to say no to a yes, you know? And I realized, like, if I stay out here any longer, I'm going to get stuck in something I don't like. I'm going to be wearing some, some probably like slutty leotard. I'm going to have sparkles falling from the sky. And it's just, I'm going to be so unhappy, you know? Or I can figure out why I do music and what I do it for. And, you know, the root to who I am. And so I realized, I cried for like a month and I moved to Nashville. And so I say that that little portion of my life, that chapter taught me the most. Now I don't get excited about anything.
Same. Hey, yeah, same.
Like, what's even exciting? Food. Going to a good restaurant, that gets
and
me
food
hyped.
That's in front of you right then, and you know you can eat it for sure.
Right, right.
Because you may get there and it's off the menu. That happens too.
100%. I'll go on Yelp and look and be like, oh, awesome, they got those crispy Brussels, you know, and then I'll go and be like, yeah, I want those Brussels. Like, we don't have it.
Out
right
of season.
Yeah, I'm like, no, ma'am. Same. So, yeah, and just like finding contentment in the journey, because I realized what I learned from LA was that, like, what I'd see work in the past was just the blood, sweat, and tears of showing up, being a good human, playing a show, whether it was polka music, whether it was country, you know, whether there was one person or 10,000. And it was just showing up every day and doing it again the next day. So I feel like that's kind of the mindset I try to get back into when I moved to town.
I'm going to play a couple clips here before we end with Katie Offerman. Here is Happy Land Trailer Park.
Woo-hoo. Everybody's got a different definition of the good stuff.
And here is Don't Do It in Texas.
Just don't do it in Texas. Don't do me that wrong.
Katie, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad we finally got to hang out in the real life.
Quite the journey. Quite the story.
Quite the journey,
I mean,
man.
Really. Amazing. You know, some you say that to some people. They're like, well, I lived in North Carolina, moved to Nashville. I'm like, wow, quite the journey. that ain't crap compared to hers.
It's amazing.
Oh, man.
Holy cow.
I mean, I think that for me, it's like, it's all part of the journey. I feel like that's maybe that's kind of why we do it. It's like we're because there's you never really know what's gonna happen. You know, like I don't know. I could win a Grammy next year, or I could just be sitting on my couch. You know, I have no idea. But I think that's what keeps that fire alive. You know,
I just wrote all that down as lyrics. All
right.
Yeah, that's all down.
Use it, man.
Follow Katie at Katie Offerman, CATIE. And Katie, great to talk to you, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
This is the Bobby Bone Show.
Bobby Bone.
I think that's it.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.